soldier. And I also had a federal civilian career at the Federal Election Commission first during my reserve years, and also as an Army civilian. So I retired a couple years ago from the federal service and 3 years from the Army. And so what I'm doing now is basically taking care of the household, kids, and also spending a lot more time trying to build God's kingdom in Paraguay. And I was involved in this ministry since 2004, but it's been really since my retirement that I've actually spent a lot more time doing presentations and organizing things and trying to get the work moving a lot quicker. So I'm very, very grateful for the influence of CLA in my life, because it's here through the influence of Dr. Paul Lindstrom and also Dr. Mahaffey that I came to know the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And so to me, it's a real homecoming to be here and to share this work with you. So Paraguay is blessed in many ways. You know, it has beautiful nature. They have a very vibrant culture and exquisite craftsmanship. And they have, it's a very friendly society. And they're also very blessed in kind of a cultural, political way, because as I was talking with you just a few minutes ago about how kids are in the streets back when we were growing up and they didn't have access to TV, Paraguay is still very much that way. You know, there's a real sense of community. And every time I go back there, I have all these kids in the streets playing, and they're not as influenced by the modern world as we are. And that extends to in a lot of different areas. And I think in many ways, they have retained a lot of what we used to call Christian civilization that we have lost. Like, for example, in the political area, you know, we had the Roe versus Wade decision, legalizing abortion, and same-sex marriage here. And you have the growth of transgenderism, and those things don't exist in Paraguay. So abortion is illegal still. You don't have same-sex marriage because it's prohibited by their constitution. And even in foreign policy, they are where we were 50 years ago, because we recognize, for example, the People's Republic of China, Communist China, back in 1979, but they still recognize the Republic of China. And they're the biggest country that still does recognize the Republic of China. So in a way, it's kind of, they have really not adopted a lot of the progressivism that our society has. And so I'm kind of reminded of a verse in Revelation 3:2, which says, "Wake up and strengthen what remains." And I very much feel that way from kind of a social political point of view, that we need to strengthen and support nations that still have correct, I think, God-honoring policies in their country. One interesting historical tidbit that I'd like to mention about Paraguay, you see there that one of their biggest provinces is called Presidente Hayes. Does anyone have any inkling of why it's named Presidente Hayes? Go ahead. Rutherford B. Hayes. Yes. It's named after President Rutherford B. Hayes. And why would a province in a Latin American country be named after a president of the United States? Yes, very, very much so. And the reason they appreciated him is that 60% of the landmass of Paraguay that exists today is thanks to President Hayes. Because after the War of the Triple Alliance, which was devastating for Paraguay, and they lost 90% of their male population, the warring parties wanted to carve up Paraguay. You know, this is Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay. But the warring parties really couldn't agree how to divide it up. And they basically, and there was no United Nations or League of Nations at the time, they brought this dispute up to President Hayes, and he basically ruled in favor of Paraguay to a large extent and gave them the land that they have, so that in a binding arbitration. So therefore, President Hayes is celebrated every 25 years in a national celebration. And the capital city of that province is named Villa Hayes, after President Hayes. So now these are kind of the basic facts about Paraguay. Guarani is the indigenous language, and Spanish, both of those languages are official languages in that country. And Paraguay in that way is very unique because it's the only country in South America where the indigenous language is equal as an official language to Spanish. And Paraguay is a very mixed population. And part of the reason it's very mixed goes back to its founding in the early 1800s, when the first president of Paraguay actually required marriages to be between the Spanish and the indigenous. So here you had segregation. Over there, you had kind of forced integration. So it's very interesting that that happened. But also, Paraguay is very diverse. So it's very mixed. So they have the mestizo, the mixed population is predominant. But they also have a lot of immigrants who have formed immigrant communities, such as the Germans. So there are large German population centers in the Chaco and also in southern Paraguay. And so in the early 1900s, there was a policy to invite people from other countries like the Germans and also the Koreans. Koreans have had an amazing influence in the growth of the church in Paraguay, just as they have in the United States as well. And much of the growth of the church and our churches in Paraguay are due thanks to the Korean influence. Like all the pastors in our group of churches went to Korean seminaries, Korean established seminaries, Presbyterian seminaries in Paraguay. Let me tell a little bit about the history of this group of churches. El Renuevo was the first church that was established, and it was established in 1997. Actually, it was established in 2001, but in 1997, Pastor Joel Acevedo, who was a pastor ordained in Chile by the National Presbyterian Church of Chile, moved to Paraguay and he bought a piece of land, and then he started to organize studies and getting children to attend events and then getting the parents involved and eventually established the church. And the church was planted thanks to the help of his connections in the United States, specifically Pastor Rob Amsler, who was a pastor of the Heritage Presbyterian Church in Warrenton, Virginia. But also other churches helped in sending teams every year, every couple of years, to help build the church, to fundraise for the brick and mortar to come down and to actually do the construction work, and whatever funds remained were used by the locals to continue building. So from the very beginning, it was work that was supported by American churches. And that's kind of a lot of milestones that I put there, but the bottom line is today, El Renuevo has grown, and this work has grown to establish five churches: the El Renuevo Church, the original church, and Barrio Parque, Pura Vida Church, and Ebenezer Church, and our newest is La Roca. And I'll go through each of those and show you what's going on. And we have two schools, one at the El Renuevo facility and one at the Barrio Parque facility. And then just a couple years ago, we established a medical clinic at the Ebenezer Church. And so Project Paraguay's mission is to support these churches financially, in terms of also sending mission teams to help with their projects. So Pastor Roberto Morera is currently the senior pastor of the Renuevo Church and also the senior pastor of this group of churches. And he's here with his wife, Angela, as they are opening up the medical clinic, which was established a couple years ago. And Pastor Morera, a little bit about his background. He was a theology professor at this Korean Presbyterian Seminary for 20 years before the Lord called him to step in and be the senior pastor of these churches. And he was instrumental in bringing in leadership. People who studied under him, who are now pastors, are pastors now of the Barrio Parque Church and Pura Vida as well. So he's been instrumental in building up leadership and in growing the church. This is from a couple years ago. I'm there with Pastor Miguel, who is the pastor of the Barrio Parque Church on the left, and then on the right next to me on the right is the assistant pastor, Freddy Sosa, and his wife, Esther. Esther, it's very interesting because Esther grew up speaking German in a German community, and she only, she learned Spanish later on, but she comes from this German Mennonite community. And there's another elder, Pastor Charlie Mendez, and his wife, Raquel. And Raquel is actually very fluent in English because she teaches English at the American school in there near Asunción. And so Pastor Charlie Mendez was recently ordained this last year. And so he's an assistant pastor too at the Renuevo Church. And there's an elder, Fabio, and his wife, Liliana. And Liliana is our point of contact for Project Paraguay in Paraguay. She's our secretary in Paraguay. So we pay her a salary. And Ignacio is also an elder at the church, and his wife, Kiki. And they've been very hospitable to us. And every time we brought a team down, we stayed at their house. And it's been a great experience. When we were there, both in 2021 and 2022, we interacted with the church, with the school there. And this is just a picture of them presenting a traditional Paraguayan dance. And this is a classroom for the children down there. And they organized a special event when we were there this past summer. And they asked us to speak, to give our testimony. And they also presented certain things for us. So this is our team in front. And we're sharing our testimony, songs, and experience with the students. And then we had a dinner afterwards. So all these things happened at the Renuevo Church. And so every time we go down there, we spend time with the Renuevo people. But we also like to spend time with the other churches that are more recent. And the Barrio Parque Church is the church that the second church that was financed and built by Project Paraguay. And so Pastor Miguel Diaz is the in charge of the church. And you see the wall around that church, it was built by the 2019 team. So it was financed by the 2019 team. We went down there. We did the actual construction, but we didn't totally finish it. So after we left, the local Paraguayans actually put in the iron fencing that you see there. It's kind of a unique church because it's located very close to some indigenous encampments. And so it's very influenced. It tries to evangelize the indigenous peoples there, and their services are exclusively, pretty exclusively in Guarani, which is the indigenous language, whereas the other churches like Ebenezer and then Renuevo and Pura Vida do their services in Spanish. And so that's a recent picture of their congregation. That whole sanctuary was built thanks to the financing and the work of Project Paraguay. And it took a long time. It took us actually 15 years to build that. But it's finally done a few years ago and has air conditioning, which is essential because in Paraguay, it gets incredibly hot in our winter, but their summer, which is January, February, March timeframe. And there are a lot of young people in these churches and in Paraguay in general. Paraguay, the median age of people of Paraguay is 26 years old. So I think it has a lot of potential, and it has one of the highest birth rates in Latin America. Bolivia has the highest birth rate, and Paraguay has the second highest. And so with a lot of young people, and there's a lot of potential. And the one thing I notice every time I go down there is no shortage of labor. You know, people are willing to work, and they're very customer friendly. So this is a picture taken during one of our medical fairs that we did. And here we have people sitting outside being triaged, and the nurse in the background, who was from Virginia, did the triage, and our doctor was inside the building prescribing medicines and figuring out what their symptoms were. Another thing we did at the Barrio Parque Church is we handed out food to the local indigenous population. And this is Pinchy preparing the food for the people. And this was during the pandemic, so we had masks on. And this is my brother-in-law actually giving some food to an indigenous woman. And every time we go on a mission trip, you know, we take time off and we discuss things. And this is a time of relaxation at Barrio Parque. Just recently, just a couple months ago, we built, paid for a new facility at the Barrio Parque facility. And this is a big classroom. And our goal is to double the enrollment at that school. And these are the elders of this group of churches that are there right in front of the building just to celebrate the opening of that facility. La Roca Church is our newest project, and this was bought by Project Paraguay in 2017. And as you can see from those pictures, they did worship services in the open. Because the church was not built. In 2017, we bought the land. And then the next year, North Carolina team came and put the foundations, put in the septic tank, and built the slab that was the foundation of the future building. But because of leadership challenges and because of the pandemic and just the inability to actually go down there during the pandemic, we really weren't able to develop that project until recently. Also, we didn't have enough finances at the time. So during that time, they basically worshipped in the open. And so it remained like that for about 5 years. And this was our 2019 team, which conducted Vacation Bible School. on that slab. And this was in the beginning of 2022. This was the state of the facility. And right now, it's like this. So in 1 year, we were able to fundraise, get the money, and to pay for the construction of the building. And last summer, we were engaged in doing work inside the facility. So we put up fans, put up the windows, all the electricity, and the painting and all that. And we brought in 5 truckloads of dirt also to level the area for future construction. So another picture. And we also always took our breaks. And when we take our breaks, we always drink this Paraguayan drink called tereré, which it's a cup, and they use this metal straw called bombilla. And in the cup, they put these herbs, Paraguayan herbs, and then they put cold water in it, and they have a thermos with them all day long. And they just bring it around wherever. And it's a way to keep hydrated the whole day. And they're, you know, drinking healthy herbal drink the whole day. And I've kind of gotten addicted to that myself. So that's part of my daily routine. And later on, you know, please feel free to take one of these bombillas. I don't know if I have enough for everybody, but they're also very useful if, let's say, you have a cup of tea and you want to drink the tea and it's loose leaf, you know, so it's not in a bag or anything. You can just put the tea in hot water in a cup, and then that's basically your strainer. You get the water, the tea without the leaves. You know. And every trip we take, we also go around and share evangelistic tracts and invite people to the church. And here we're in the area near Barrio Parque and inviting people to come to the medical fair and to the church. The reason I took this picture is that we were just kind of walking around, but I saw that beautiful tree, so I have to take that picture. And we conducted a medical fair, and while they wait, you know, we have these evangelistic tracts that we hand out, but they're waiting to see the nurse and then the doctor. And this is our nurse talking to a family and prescribing medicines. And this is Narciso Brites, who's kind of the caretaker of this church. And this is typical Sunday where he is preaching to the congregation, which is small, but since the building has been completed, it has grown very fast. And there are a lot of people who are interested and who are coming to the services. This is a neighborhood event that they organized. Unfortunately, what happened just this past week is that there was a robbery in the church. And this is what they did. They actually made a hole in the concrete, and they went through the hole and ripped out the light fixtures and the fans that we established last summer. And this happened in the middle of the night, and I guess no one noticed it because the people who are in charge of the church don't live right there, so they live a little bit further away. So in Paraguay, the way that we have avoided this, like at Barrio Parque, for example, is that there's actually a parsonage, and people are living there at the same location as the church. And so that really deters, you know, thieves and robbers to come in. But if you have an empty facility, you know, they think there's something inside, they're going to try to get the stuff and resell it, you know, on the market. So that damage has since been repaired by Narciso, and I think what we're going to have to do when we go back this summer is to improve the security measures. And one of the things that we're going to work on is to build a wall around the church to make this kind of thing much more difficult, and also to possibly build a parsonage to have a member of the church live there and keep watch of the church. Pura Vida Church is unique in that it ministers to professionals in downtown Asunción, which is a very different focus than these other churches that I've talked about. And they are in a rented facility, unlike the other churches that are have owned their own property and are building on their own property. Back in 2019, we had the opportunity to support this church, and this is our team. And we're basically going through the streets of downtown Asunción, inviting people to the church and to pass out evangelistic tracts. And the latest church that has become part of this group of churches is the Ebenezer Church. They've had very good relationships with Pastor Morera for many, many years. And they decided about 3 years ago to join in. And they were established by Korean missionaries. And for a long time, they met in a Korean seminary. But for some reason, they weren't able to do so anymore. So they're basically kicked out of the facility, and they did not know what they could do, and many were concerned that the church might have to dissolve. But then a very generous donor, just 2 weeks after that happened, bought them this property, and actually didn't buy it, donated this property, because he already had this property. And so once it was donated to them, what they did is they renovated the facility at the bottom, at the end of that, the picture you see there. It used to be a warehouse, but now it's a church sanctuary. And then to the left is the parsonage, and the pastor lives in the second and third floor. And the first floor is the medical clinic that was established a couple years ago. So they basically were able to kind of leapfrog all the efforts that we're going through to buy a piece of land and to build on it, just by having a very generous donor give them the land. There's a picture of the congregation. It's a very active and healthy congregation, a lot of young people. That's my son with the youth there of the church, and myself, my brother-in-law with Pastor Morera, Dr. Mino, who is an elder of that church, but is also the head of that medical clinic. And they have a very innovative structure. And the way that they provide help is they offer these medical services to the community. And so members of the community come. The service is in exchange for food. So the people, patients being seen, bring some item of food. And then that food is basically recycled, given to the church, and the church provides the food to people in need of food. People who are seen have some skin in the game, but at the same time, it's going to go to benefit other poor people. So that's the, and we support the medical clinic every single month with medicines. And in addition to the medicines that the doctor is able to obtain from his sources in Paraguay for free. So this was at the first anniversary, this is at the 33rd anniversary of the establishment of the Ebenezer Church. Pastor Morera spoke there, and we were there, and we wanted to take the opportunity to give a special gift to Pastor Morera, or not to Dr. Mino, and we gave him a gift of a stethoscope. And that's our nurse presenting the stethoscope to Dr. Mino. And that's just a picture of him seeing a patient. And the clinic has gotten a lot of good publicity. This is a post that I put on Facebook of Dr. Mino, his work being recognized by a national publication in Paraguay. And they're very kind to give members of our team special gifts for our special contribution to the work of the clinic. Now, going to mission trips. we have started a precedent of having mission trips every single year. The only year that we missed was 2021 because of the pandemic. And basically it's because we weren't able to get into the country. But that's a picture of our 2019 mission trip, of our mission group. And typically what we do is we start every day meeting together for Bible study and devotions. And then we plan our day. This is a picture of our 2021 mission trip. And there's three of us. And all we did was help in terms of organizing medical fairs. We grew back in size this past year, so we had 8 members of the team. And here we are in front of our team house. This is the first team that was able to use our team house that we built. Actually, it was my brother-in-law and I who bought this piece of land, and we built this house. So it belongs to my brother and I, but we're using it as a team house for Project Paraguay. And there's a picture of our team house. And my daughter is a medical doctor, and she went to medical school in Puerto Rico. She graduated, joined the Army for 4 years. Now she's out of the Army, and she will be in Paraguay for 3 months starting in April. And her plan is, in the future, being in Paraguay for up to 6 months every year, providing medical services to the poor people there. And she would occupy the small house on this property while she's there. So in Virginia, she is establishing a telehealth practice. And she'll be able to continue that in Paraguay because they're in the same time zone. So it's very, very convenient. Nice thing of traveling to Paraguay is you don't have to suffer jet lag because, you know, if you go to Europe, there's, I think, a 7-hour jet lag. But in Paraguay, it's the same time. So it's very, very nice. So this is a picture of our team this past year. And we typically have dinner at Liliana's parents' house because they run an eatery. And we typically eat breakfast at the team house and then eat lunch wherever we're working. And then we get together for dinner at the Ayala house. And one thing we always do when we go on these teams is we bring down computers for the schools. And our secretary, Bob Sowers, is in charge of gathering these computers, putting Spanish software. And then each member of the team brings one or two computers with them in their luggage, and then we just donate them when we're there. Back in 2019, especially because we had a team with a lot of youngsters, we wanted to do something fun. So we worked hard, but we also wanted to play hard. So we went to the Eco Reserve, where we did some rappelling and some zip lining. This is in the Paraguayan jungle. And we also did some sightseeing in Asunción. And this past year, we visited downtown Asunción as well. This is the Pantheon of the Heroes. We look at markets, Paraguayan markets. There was an expo going on, so we went to the expo. So these are some pictures of that. Let me transition and talk to you a little bit about Project Paraguay. As I intimated, Project Paraguay was established in 2001 by Pastor Amsler, and it was under the direction of a missions committee of the Heritage Presbyterian Church for many years. And back in 2013, that church was having some financial issues, and they couldn't continue the project. So they asked around for other churches to see if any other church would take over this project. But there are really no takers. Because I was very involved in organizing these mission trips, and I was on that committee for a few years, Pastor Amsler asked me if I could take it over. And we decided to establish a non-denominational foundation in Virginia that's also tax exempt under the 501c3 of the IRS code. And being a lawyer, you know, that's kind of up my alley. And so I did all the paperwork. I organized the foundation. And I've been the director, the executive director, ever since, with a board that supports me. And so it was organized in 1996 by HPC. It was made independent in 2014. And that was also a real blessing because it helped us to do some expansion and outreach. And just being a non-denominational foundation allows us to not only have people contribute to the foundation tax-free, tax-deductible, but also to get other churches involved, not just, you know, that particular Presbyterian church, but other Presbyterian churches, other independent churches. There's a Baptist church that supports us, a charismatic church. But our mission remains to establish Reformed churches in Paraguay. And so that's our budget. It's $66,000. So we're not a big foundation. We don't have a whole lot of money, but it goes a long way because money goes a long way. The dollar goes a long way in Paraguay. For example, you know, our senior pastor, his salary is about $15,000 a year. And by Paraguayan standards, he's very well paid. So, you know, maybe double what most Paraguayan pastors earn. So that kind of gives you an idea of the cost of living and also what people make in Paraguay. So if you go down there as an American, your dollar goes very, very far. These are the churches that either support us or have sent teams with us down to Paraguay, or members who have joined our teams. And this is our ministry team. And you'll notice that there are two members of our ministry team sitting right there, Joy and Saul Antonio. And Project Paraguay has really affected the lives, not only the people in Paraguay, but also of Americans who go down there because they see a totally new perspective on missions, and it changes their perspective on their lives by seeing how other people live. And it certainly changes lives. Like, it changed their lives because I knew Saul before he knew Joy, and he was involved in the work as a pastoral candidate in Paraguay. And Joy went down there on one of our mission teams and ended up liking each other and then eventually getting married. And then he moved to the United States. So they lived very close to here in the suburbs. So they just moved to Illinois from Virginia, what, a couple years ago?
Just a year ago.
A year ago, yeah. So... and then there's another couple in North Carolina that has a very similar story, where a member of the mission team went down there, ended up marrying a Paraguayan, and moving to the United States. So we've definitely had an impact on people's lives, not only that way, but also in terms of spreading the gospel, building churches, you know. But our focus has always been to empower the local Paraguayans to spread the gospel. And I think that's a much more effective way of conducting missions than, let's say, paying an American missionary $150,000 to go to some country and him not knowing the culture and try to, you know, spread the gospel. Because it's much more effective to use local resources. It's not only cheaper, much cost effective, but it also is much more culturally effective. So that's has been our vision for many years. One of the things we do as a board is we try to advertise the project and what we're doing. And this is Saul and my brother-in-law, Keen, in Fort Myers, Florida. And we were attending the Founders Ministry Conference, and we had a table there with our literature and resources. And we also tried to establish relationships with other groups, with other missionaries. And this is at Pastor Miguel's house in Paraguay. There was an American missionary that we invited, Timothy Revitt, who and his family, who have a ministry serving the indigenous peoples of Paraguay. And we just wanted to establish relationships and to see how we can collaborate in our efforts to reach that people group. And then when we're in Paraguay, we also met with the director of this nationwide evangelical association, which is the Jesus Responds. And so we want to coordinate efforts, explore possibilities for our project to participate in their evangelistic events in Paraguay. So these are our short-term goals, prayer needs. And as I mentioned, we want to build a church, we want to build a wall around the church at La Roca, possibly build a parsonage. And then Barrio Parque, we have some construction projects and a medical outreach. We'd like to support an additional doctor, but give him a stipend, also explore some mobile clinic options, because that's really what my daughter's interested in. And then we want to establish kind of a pastoral fund to to subsidize pastors, because right now we only support three of the pastors in this group of churches, and we want to kind of expand that, especially the churches that are more smaller and struggling more. So those are kind of our prayer needs and short-term goals. And a little bit about the trip information this summer. We plan to be there from July 20th to the 31st. And depending where you are in the country, you know, the cost of airfare will be different. But it's the airfare plus $800 for Project Paraguay to be able to buy materials, resources, and food. And so those are just some of the milestones. And if you are interested, just talk to me later. And the purpose would be construction, setting up medical fairs, outreach, and also some fun activities as well. And so those are some ways to help. And so basically we're focused on spreading the gospel on short-term missions and growing churches. And are there any questions? Yes?
Does the Catholic Church, are they suspect of the efforts that are going on down there? Do they oppose what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the Catholic Church is dominant in the country, and they don't like competition, but it's there's freedom of religion in Paraguay, and so there's really nothing that they can do. And so they just don't like us to be there, but we are there. So, yeah. Yes. I got there in the first place in 2004, and because I was a member of a church in Gainesville, Virginia, called Gainesville Presbyterian Church. And they were a sister church of Heritage Church. And Joel Acevedo, who was a Chilean pastor who established this work, was invited to the United States to give presentation in different churches. And one of the churches that he was invited to was my church, Gainesville. And so right after he did that, the church decided to organize a mission team for that summer. And I thought it was very interesting, and, you know, I had never been to Paraguay, so I volunteered for the mission team, and so did my daughter. And so we ended up going there and pretty much fell in love with the country. And that's where my daughter had this vision to come back. And she's made that her goal for the last 15 years. And so finally, this year, it's becoming a reality, you know, that she'll be able to spend a lot more time in Paraguay doing medical missions. And that's the reason she went to medical school for this. So the Army was just a way to finance her education and to serve her country for 4 years. And now she can serve the Lord in Paraguay, you know. And so it definitely changed her life. And as part of that change, that it also changed my life as well. So I became very interested in the work. And that's how I stayed involved, became part of the Border Project Paraguay. And then when Pastor Anzor decided he could not continue the work as being the administrator, he asked me to do so. So
we will have an offering basket in the lobby area, and you can give cash, obviously, to the work, or checks directly to Project Paraguay, or if you write a check to the church, just put that in the memo, and we'll get those funds for the work. So do you want to close in prayer?
Sure. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you give to build your church, build your kingdom, everywhere in the world, here in the United States, here in Arlington Heights, but also in Paraguay. And we pray that you might give us a vision for your kingdom, and wherever the Lord calls us, that we might be involved in spreading your word locally, but also to the ends of the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for the work in Paraguay, how you have blessed that work, and how you have grown that work. And we pray, Lord, that you might be with us this day and bless the teaching that we will receive from Pastor Lindstrom. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.